Right, we're going to go ahead and call to order the Downtown East Streetcar and Sewer Public Infrastructure District. Today is January 27th. It's 9:04. We do have a quorum of the board. I'm Michael Jensen with Snow Jensen and Reese. So for our call to order, if everyone on the call, if you could state your name for the recording and record, we'd appreciate it. We'll start with the board. Steve, your chair, you want to start?
Steve Borup.
Glenn Gersberger.
Bryce Baker. Arthur Woodbury.
Jason Alagas. Matt Menlove.
Matt and Snow Jensen and Reese District Council.
David Hutchison with CLA.
All right, that's everyone I show at the moment. We do have Christy Barker back at the anchor location. Christy, is there anyone there from the public?
No.
All right. So first item up board is we have the minutes from our December 30th meeting. I do have those if you need me to put them up. Have you had a chance to review those? Do they look accurate? You put those up. So that was when we had the final budget. So we did the public hearing, then we did the minutes, and then we came down, did the resolution. So happened pretty fast, and then we did the annual meeting schedule, and then provided the public and open meetings training. So do they look accurate to you?
Yes, to me.
Okay. Could I get a motion then, Bryce?
I'll motion to approve the minutes from the December meeting.
Thanks, Bryce.
Second, Steve.
Who was Steve? Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
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 All right, that's unanimous. All right, next up is our fourth quarter financials. So I'll stop sharing, let David share, turn the time over to David from CLA.
All right, thanks, Michael. So for Downtown East Streetcar Sewer PID number one, the balance sheet as of December 31st, 2024. Zoom in just a little bit more there. In the general fund, we have the admin expenditure fund of $262,352. In the UMB bond fund and the debt service fund, we have $2,791,848. In the surplus fund, $3,057,899. And we have a receivable from the county treasurer of $407,444. In the capital projects fund, we have in the project fund $16,593,093. And in the subordinate project fund, $2,527,562. And then we also have accounts payable as in the general fund of $8,072. Going to the general fund, the statement of revenues, expenditures, and changes in fund balances. We've had interest income of $13,727. Expenditures totaling $48,354 to the 52,000 budgeted. And then transfer other financing sources, transfers to other funds $14,000, and transfers from other funds of $14,902, giving us an ending fund balance of $254,281. And moving on to the debt service fund, we have revenues for the year, property taxes $219,397, interest income of $307,658, and then expenditures paying agent fees $7,000, bond interest of the $1,733,588. And then transfers from other funds for $14,000. And moving on to the Capital Projects Fund, interest income of $944,074. We've had expenditures consisting of engineering, $16,003, and capital outlay of $212,036, and transfers to other funds for other financing sources of $14,902. With that, are there any questions or any items that you guys would like to go over a little more?
Were you guys comfortable, Steve?
I think the only question was back just to Salt Lake and how our capital projects funds aligns with their vision. You were going to meet, I think, learn a little bit more. I think part of that discussion was maybe hopefully going to lead toward some kind of settlement. And it doesn't feel like we've got a real definitive answer on how the interest income in the capital project fund that can be used to service the debt or other things. So those are the two items that I've got questions on today.
Okay. So that interest, because it was the money that was in that, in the account, I believe, and Matt helped me, but I believe that has to go back to paying for the bonds. David, did you get any clarification on that?
If it's not going to be used on in capital projects, my understanding is it could be moved back to the bonds, but
yeah, we want to use it for capital projects.
Yeah.
So if it was in the capital projects fund, can we use it for that? That's the question.
Oh yeah, any interest earned in the capital projects would typically be assigned to the capital projects to be used there. Any interest in the debt service would likewise be for the debt service.
Yeah, and Steve, to directly answer your question, we researched this question, and ultimately what it comes down to is that the agreements between the city and the district are not definitive as to what the use of that interest would be. And so I think that as the board, you can give us some direction as to how you want that to be applied. So, and we're going to talk a little bit more about this, the city side of the equation here in just a minute.
Okay. Well, it sounds like there's some discretion there. We'll be able to make some choices as a board, and depending on how South Salt Lake settles out, we'll have more information to make the decision.
Yeah.
Okay. So with that, what I would need then is a motion to accept the minutes as presented.
The financials?
Yeah. Or I'm sorry. Yeah. Thanks, Steve. The financials.
This is Steve. I move to approve the financials just reviewed.
Thanks, Steve.
This is Bryce. I second that motion.
Thanks, Bryce. All those in favor say aye.
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 All right. That's unanimous. All right. Next up, Steve, and this gets to your point. Matt and I have been talking with South Salt Lake. We had a meeting with their engineers. So, Matt, do you want to put it up? Do you want me to?
I've got it here, so I can put it on screen.
Okay.
So just to give you guys some context for this, what I'm putting up on screen is an impact fee study that has been prepared by the city's engineers. When the city realized there was going to be a shortfall in the capital available from the PID, they started looking at options as to how to address the shortfall. And they also, as I understand it, have some other needs outside of the PID for, you know, ongoing capital expenses on their sewer system, which were not included in what the PID was originally intended to finance. And so because of that, they went to their engineers, had them do a study as to what they would need in order to address these
capital expenses and future anticipated capital outlay. And so what they've come up with, this has not been adopted yet. This is in a draft form. And so we do have an opportunity if we want to give comment feedback to the city on this, we can do it. But what they've come up with is a new impact fee specifically for sewer capital expenses. You can see it's got two parts to it. And my understanding is from talking with the city and looking at the engineer's report, the largest portion of this is associated with sewer capacity. And that portion of the impact fee, they would not be asking PID participants to pay. And so that's why you see here there's a non-PID impact fee of $11,789, which would be charged for all new development by developers and property owners who are not participating in the PID. And then an impact fee of $1,160, which would be charged to developers and property owners who are participating in the PID. And we'll circulate this report so everybody can take a look at it for themselves. We did have a discussion about this after the meeting with the engineers. We had a discussion about this with the city attorney because one of the things that isn't clear from this report is exactly what they intend to do with the proceeds. Some of you will remember that the district actually has an agreement with the city that if someone decides to develop inside the PID annexation area, they basically are required by the city to join the PID. And we've had a couple of property owners that have done that and have been added to the PID and made their property subject to the same taxes that your properties are paying. That agreement provides that the city does have the option if a property owner doesn't want to join the PID, but they're inside the annexation area, that they would pay an impact fee in lieu of joining the PID, but that the proceeds of that impact fee would come to the PID to pay down the PID's bond obligations. So the thing that's not clear from what they provided us with respect to this impact fee is whether some or all of this collected from non-PID participants would be paid to the PID to pay down bond proceeds. So we've asked that question specifically to the city attorney and asked him to give us a response. The way I see this breaking down is potentially a couple of different ways. The city could identify a portion of this new impact fee to remit to the PID when the property paying the impact fee is inside the PID annexation area, or they could elect to charge both this impact fee and an additional impact fee to someone who is inside the PID annexation area and not joining the PID. So someone could avoid that still by joining the PID. That option is still available, but we don't have any clarity on exactly what portion of this impact fee, or if not this impact fee, what the additional impact fee would be for someone who's inside the PID annexation area. So, with that sort of as context and introduction, I'm happy to open this to any discussion or questions.
Just to give a little bit more context, where you see on here the treatment side, that's what Central Valley is telling South Salt Lake what they need to do at Central Valley in order to treat it, the sewer, once it gets over there. So that specifically goes to Central Valley, just so you guys know when you look at it.
So the city's taking the position that that treatment portion, as well as the planning cost, which is a much smaller part, needs to be shared by everybody, whether you participate in the PID or not. I think that, I mean, from a legal standpoint, I think that's defensible that they're taking that approach. Obviously, open to anybody's thoughts on that too, but that's at least our initial analysis. So. This is a per residential unit impact fee as well. So obviously it's going to be it would be assessed on a per unit basis. Anybody have any questions? If not, we'll circulate this report around. Again, keep in mind it's a draft. They've not, to my knowledge, they've not scheduled this for adoption yet, as they're still working on finalizing this report, the engineers. And obviously, there's still some questions that the city needs to answer as far as, the impact of the agreement between the district and the PID and what portion of any impact fee would come back to the PID.
I have a question, which is if you have an existing building and then the building will be torn down, there's an initial impact that an existing building already has. If, for example, I'm kind of making this up, but like if you have a 50,000 square foot building and then you're going to be replacing it with a 100,000 square foot building, how is it the incremental that you would be taxed on, the incremental increase, or are you like how is the actual impact on something like that versus if it was just raw land?
So just speaking in terms of the hypothetical that you laid out, ideally, yes. I mean, you obviously there was an impact that was already in existence before you tore down the old building. And so I would say, again, just speaking hypothetically, generally speaking, if there's an existing use that is removed and then a new use put in its place, I would say legally they would have to charge for the new impact or the increased impact, which would be an incremental, and obviously that would be a question of how that broke down would have to be something that would be analyzed. But yeah, I think this the short answer is yes. I think you're right. They would have to somehow determine whether the new impact fee, how much of the new impact fee was related to the additional impact of the new development. Now I will say on this treatment component of the impact fee that they're including, they may be viewing that as additional impact across the board, regardless of what was existing previously, because that's a new treatment component. But again, that would be something I'd encourage everybody to look at the report for themselves and kind of get your own sense for what they're trying to do here. That's a question I don't know if I can give you a definitive answer to.
So just to make sure I understand, if you're wanting to develop within the annexation area, today you have a choice. You can basically pay an equivalent impact fee, or you can annex into the PID, or you're pretty much just forced to annex into the PID today.
Yeah, no one to date has actually paid an impact fee in lieu
Gotcha.
of.
Yeah.
The only people that have developed in the annexation area that weren't previously part of the PID have joined the PID. So
Yeah.
that impact fee alternative has never been fully defined. The agreement between the district and the city basically says that the city will, if they want to make that option available, they have to go and do an impact fee study and have their engineer establish an appropriate impact fee. And that's never been done yet. So that's why the question is out there, whether this new impact fee is, satisfies that in some portion or whether that would be an additional fee.
Yeah, my concern lies with the same question you asked. Are they just cannibalizing future PID revenues? And the second question is, with this, can they meet their obligation to actually get the infrastructure in a working manner such that development can move forward and they can meet their obligation?
Yeah, so as to your second question, what they have represented to us is that as things currently stand, again, it's obviously not finalized, but they believe that this will allow them to pay whatever additional costs are required for the capital improvements.
Assuming they haven't just forced developers elsewhere by putting an extra 10,000 per key per door onto developers, yeah.
No question that it has an impact. But as far as the PID is concerned, they've also said Yes, we recognize that if we go this route, the PID doesn't need to pitch in anything else other than obviously legal, impact fees that are adopted. So
Current PID members are protected. The question is, are future PID members going to be paying this plus an assessment, which will really disincentivize development? So.
it's there's definitely there's some tension there, right? Because obviously as the property owners and developers that stepped up and entered the PID up front, you guys don't want people riding your coattails, right? And not paying their way. And so, that creates a desire to have the people that follow after obviously pay more. But there's the competing consideration, Steve, that you point out that obviously the more those people have to pay, the more of a negative pressure there is on future development. So it's definitely a there's definitely a couple of different things going on there.
The issue is that all things costing more, and it's going to create tension somewhere. So,
Anyway, I think our general, take on this is that it's a positive development. In the months that we've been talking to the city about this, they've swung from basically pointing the finger at the PID and saying, "You guys got to come up with more money," to taking responsibility for it and saying, "Okay, we recognize we're going to have to do something about this." So in that sense, we think this is generally a positive, a positive development. It obviously represents additional costs of development, but that's something everybody's going to have to analyze for themselves. So anyway, that's all I have. So unless you guys have other questions, we'll get this report out to everybody so you can take a look at it yourselves.
any other questions, board?
None from me.
Okay. I do have one question. Who joined that is the name is Blocks?
It's Jason Oberman.
Okay. Thanks, Jason. All right. So look in your emails as soon as the meeting's done. We'll send it out. It will either come from me or Christy. So just look in your inboxes. Take a look at it. If we need to have a meeting before our next quarterly meeting, we can. Otherwise, we'll make sure we put this back on the agenda for our after our first quarter financials.
And we'll be looking to have a follow-up meeting with the city attorney sometime between now and the next board meeting. So certainly if you have questions, comments, get them to us and we can, we can take that when we speak with him next about this.
All right. I don't show anything else on the agenda. Do you guys have any other questions for us? Anything we need to know about?
You are moving forward, requesting a reduction in board members.
Yes.
Yeah, Matt, you want to cover that?
Yes, that's in process. I don't have anything to update on that right now, but we'll come back to you not in the next board meeting, but before the next board meeting with sort of what we're proposing to take to the city council. So, and then we'll go from there. Ideally, we'll have something to bring back to you for, approval at the next board meeting that the city has already blessed.
Great.
All right. With that, then, can I get a motion to adjourn?
This is Steve. I move to adjourn the meeting.
Thanks, Steve.
Glenn, I'll second.
Thanks, Glenn. All those in favor say aye.
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 Thanks, everyone.
Unanimous. Hey, thanks, you guys. Look for those that email.